Okay, time for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget with featured guest James Turk from Gold Money. James Turk, founder of GoldMoney.com, author of The Coming Collapse of the Dollar and How to Profit from It.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Good to be with you.
Start off today with the dollar rally. Since we last talked, it continued even higher. Quite a remarkable rally over a nine-month period, erasing 12 years of losses. But some of our guests here on the show are convinced that this is just a final hurrah, if you will, before an ultimate day of reckoning for the greenback. Any thoughts on what that might mean for investors?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The fundamental underlying factors for the dollar have not really changed for the better. There's still too much debt. There's still too much government spending. What we've seen is that with interest rates in Europe moving below zero, interest rates in the United States that are still basically above zero make the dollar look like a good alternative. So in that sense, it's an emotional knee-jerk reaction, hot money moving into the dollar and driving it higher relative to the euro and some of the other currencies that have negative interest rates. But, underlying factors still suggest that the U.S. hasn't come to grips with its basic problems. Too much government spending, too much debt, too much printing by the money printing by the Federal Reserve. It's causing problems for the dollar, and eventually those problems will be realized.
Exactly. It just seems to be the least bad alternative, I guess, around, and money flowing in, it really props up our equities and bond markets. But probably if we saw the big picture, maybe a chart of all the currencies in the world, the long-term downtrend in fiat money would be evident, don't you suspect?
Yeah, clearly. And in fact, if you look at gold versus all of the major currencies of the world, gold is basically up against all of them with the exception of the U.S. dollar, where it's, down a little bit. But, gold is up 10% this year against the euro, for example.
Since you're closer than the rest of us, or most of us here, to the Eurozone drama, the Grexit, and so many of the issues facing or plaguing the region, do you see this eventually escalating?
Yeah, there's no doubt there are people looking for safe havens. You see it in a lot of different places, a lot of different ways. Housing prices in London, Singapore, and other safe havens are rising. A lot of money is going into collectibles and other forms of tangibles. And money's coming out of a weak spot. There's been a decline in bank deposits in Greece, for example. That money's been coming out of Greece and looking for safe havens. And as a consequence of, these monetary problems that we have in Europe, again, similar to the problems in the United States, over-leveraged governments, too much government spending, not enough wealth creation to service all of these debt obligations, it's going to come to a head. When it's going to happen, it's always difficult to get an exact timing. But so many trends coming together now, Chris, to me, it seems like you could see a lot of volatility coming, pretty soon.
You mentioned recently that the European Central Bank will expropriate deposits in Greek bank accounts to help cover those loans that the bank has made to their government. And I wonder if you could give us an idea of how this aspect of the story could impact the markets.
The European Central Bank did that in Cyprus. They've said that's going to be the blueprint for other countries in Europe that get into trouble. And, Greece is clearly into trouble. So we will see if the European Central Bank will repeat the Cyprus experience again and take away bank deposits from bank depositors after the Greek or after the, the government nationalizes the banks in that country. What it's basically doing, these types of events is they undermine confidence in fiat currency. And fiat currency rests on nothing but confidence. If that confidence disappears, you end up getting what's called a flight from the currency. The demand for that currency declines because of the perceived problems or the monetary illnesses that are affecting that currency. And as a consequence, it loses purchasing power. And it tends to happen over a fairly short period of time, as we've seen really just over the past several months with regard to the euro and how much it's dropped compared to the dollar and even some of the non-euro European currencies like the British pound.
An interesting article from Zero Hedge noted that the New York Fed stockpile of the yellow metal actually dropped below 6,000 tons for the first time in over 100 years. Could the New York Fed and some of its compatriots attempt to manipulate the markets by selling off their stockpile?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is indeed the case. You know, you can keep a lid on the gold price for a certain extent. We saw how this happened in the 1960s, for example, during the London gold pool, where this cartel of central banks got together to keep the gold price at $35 an ounce, even though the market knew that gold was worth more than $35 an ounce. So basically, that was forcing the central banks to keep feeding physical metal into the market at that $35 an ounce price to try to keep that lid on it. But eventually, the central banks had enough. They threw in the towel and they let the gold price rise. It's basically the same thing this time around, though obviously at a much higher price. Metals coming out of the Federal Reserve in New York as an indication of how tight physical metal, physical gold is here in London. And there's no doubt in my mind that the metal is coming out of New York in order to help satisfy the strong physical demand for metal that we're seeing pretty much all over the world, but particularly in Asia, which continues to acquire, you know, huge amounts of physical metal. And, you know, China particularly has become now the largest buyer of physical metal, you know, every year.
Ambrose Evans Pritchard published, I thought, a rather interesting article that the U.S. might be making a huge blunder by treating China, our neighbor, as an economic foe, at least allegedly importing a huge, many, many tons per day of gold. And it seems as though we might be setting ourselves up for just a strategic error here. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I do agree that it is a strategic error. You know, China is, depending on who you're measuring, who's measuring it and what time of the week it's being measured, China is either the largest or the second largest economy in the world. It's looking for stature. It's looking for respect in the community of nations. And it's looking for ways to exercise its power. And it's being thwarted of doing that within institutions created by the United States after the Second World War, like the IMF, World Bank, and things like that. So it's not surprising that China is out there creating its own institutions, most recently being the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, where the U.S. was saying to its allies, you know, don't join it because, you know, America wanted to keep its influence in the prime position. But, you know, everybody's recognized the writing on the wall that there's a lot of economic activity, a lot of growth potential in China, and a lot of nations around the world have joined that AIIB, despite the fact that the U.S. had asked them not to. You know, as the dominant monetary power after the Second World War, you know, under what's called the Bretton Woods Agreement, and thereafter under this floating currency regime that governments have been following, the U.S. government has this responsibility to the rest of the world to maintain a currency that can be used effectively in international trade. And it's a currency that, like the British pound under the classical gold standard when the British Empire was reigning supreme, it would have it would preserve purchasing power and could be used under a constant rule of law as a neutral tool in commerce. Well, the U.S. government has moved away from that in recent decades and now is using the dollar more as a political weapon rather than a neutral, allowing it to circulate as a neutral tool in commerce. And they're also looking at domestic political considerations rather than geopolitical and geomonetary situations when from the dollar's role internationally. And that's causing a lot of feedback, and it's impairing the dollar's role. And that ultimately, I think, will decrease the demand for the dollar. And I think is likely to be one of the reasons why the dollar will be heading south as we move toward the end of this year.
Add to your comments, your earlier comments regarding China's appetite for the yellow metal. India is now trying desperately to compete with China's voracious appetite, according to Bullion Star, exploding imports. The race seems to be on to insulate from what they probably perceive as profligacy on an epic scale.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting year as we move toward the end of the year. We have a lot of events coming up over the next several months, particularly September, October, November, when the IMF is meeting to determine the reweighting of the special drawing right, the SDR. And we'll see whether or not China is included in the new reweighting of the SDR. If it's not included or if China's not happy with the way it's been treated, I think that could have a profound effect on the global monetary system, which I'm basically thinking would be very bullish for gold and very negative for the U.S. dollar.
If you could tell folks a bit more about GoldMoney.com.
Yeah, I'm the founder of Gold Money. We're an online company, GoldMoney.com. Very convenient, economical, and safe way to buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and to have that metal stored for you in a number of different vaults around the world to give you a geographic diversification of your precious metal portfolio.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chris.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.